Roth Radio. Oh, turn me up live there, Hutch. Roth Radio, live in front of your naked, steaming eyes. That's Michelle Branch in the background there. Great song for kicking off in the morning, huh?
Yeah, lovely stuff.
Well, it's Tuesday, and it's the beginning of the weekend, actually. So it's apropos of the music. I'm not going to review so much albums and stuff. Also, we got a thing on the internet just recently from Brian May and Queen when we reviewed the Queen album last weekend, which was last Tuesday. And evidently, we're being listened to over there. He sent us a really nice email talking about the review, etc., inviting us over to his show coming up when they play out in Long Island. I don't know if they're circling and if they're going to be playing at the Garden yet or whatever. I've got to imagine that that's going to become a thing, right? I got to imagine that Queen is going to come trucking through here at some point. Has anybody heard the album? If anybody's heard the album, give us a call, 866-313-3733. We'll get the phone started early here. I'm a big Queen fan, and I'm very curious as to what the new album is. There's a new album out with Paul Rodgers, right? Mm-hmm. Who's the singer, was the singer from Free. For those of you who don't know what Free is, turn off the track here. Brian, go ahead and play us All Right Now. Can you play us that right there? Brian Young in the back right here.
In the street, smiling from her head to her feet. I said, hey, yeah.
Okay, I haven't had enough coffee. Go ahead, put the track back on there. It's a little more appropriate for Michelle Branch here. Start the track from the top there. Are you a Santana fan, Brian? Are you a Santana fan?
Yeah.
Because this is there's a brand new one. This is her new song out. I just was watching this. It was on the TV set. And go. Put it up there. That's it. The same guy, I think, who wrote the last song. There was one, another Michelle Branch tune there. In fact, go ahead and put on Game of Love here, because I think it's the same thing. Go ahead and cue that up there. And Santana's forever, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He's one of those guys, I keep saying, he's like hot sauce. Goes with everything. Instantly addictive, right? And it goes with scrambled eggs in the morning, and it goes with your tequila shot, if that's your choice of beverage.
And he keeps current by playing with all the current artists.
He's always current. He's constantly there. He's constantly involved. And, you know, you got geniuses like Clive Davis working behind the scenes here. I'll play another song from Michelle. Michelle is one of my favorites. That's why I pick it up. She's got that lively sound in there. Go ahead. Got to be the same songwriter, right? Listen to Santana. He's bad. You know what?
That's Carlos playing guitar?
Oh, totally. Oh, listen. Yeah.
Just what you want me to be.
Yeah, listen.
One guess.
That's morning music, man. When I wake up in the morning, I have visions of Paris Hilton dancing in my head, and this is what it sounds like. Go ahead, listen. I've got the inside dope on this, actually, is that there were four other singers who played on this tune before they arrived at the that this was going to be Michelle Branch. Clive Davis, you know, who's the magic behind the scenes here. He's been, you know, involved for many years and stuff. Had actually Tina Turner was one of the very first people to actually sing on this. She actually sang the tune, whatever.
Doesn't sound like her style.
No, but, you know, they're going through it because it's clear songwriting. Songwriting is what's key is about this. Santana is there. He's got that lead guitar sound.
Carlos has achieved that level of guitar playing now where he doesn't have to play rhythm at all anymore. He just sits around and throws the leads in whenever he feels like it and then can...
It's instantly familiar. You may never have even heard the song before, but it's like a Jimi Hendrix sound or the Eddie Van Halen sound or whatever. Put it on. Don't turn it up there. Shot from guns, Roth Radio. Like a Shrike missile right in the Wheaties. We got a special guest coming in at 7:20 this morning. Johnny Damon, former Boston Red Sox. Now, Johnny isn't doing any other press, is he? Is he doing other press there, Matt? Is he involved in other stuff? I don't think he is he?
He's just coming in here. He's a fan of yours.
Oh, there you go. Well, there's a kinship there. There's a lot of controversy that is surrounding this great ball player, and there's a whole lot of politics, et cetera, et cetera. But I think there's also a spiritual balance that we're examining here. Matt, you came from Boston. What does he represent? What did he represent to Boston?
Go ahead. Well, he used to be a Boston Pirate. He used to be the man. He was a drinking, swashbuckling sort, and then he left, and he is
and he cut his hair just like I did. Now we do Bible study. Is that right?
He does Bible studies on the weekends. Yes.
Matt, does your dad know he's coming in?
My family won't speak with me anymore. I can't be seen with him.
Well, I'm looking for the balance here. We're always at the tipping point on Roth Radio, but Johnny Damon, the former Red Sox, has just signed a 4-year, $52 million deal with the New York Yankees, and he's going to be dropping in at 7:20 this morning. I wonder if we should take phone calls or not. What do you think?
Absolutely.
No, I don't want to put him on the spot, so he's going to fist fight with irate callers from 1,000 miles away. Come on.
Enjoy that.
Boston irate? I doubt that.
Is New York actually celebrating? You know, my sports attenuation is pretty much limited to fist-to-face confrontations. If there's not direct physical content and, an ambulance involved, I generally don't pay attention to who's winning the race or whatever. But I do know about this story here. Is New York celebrating his arrival? Is this a grand thing? I see him smiling. I see the interns are all lit up. So what does this mean as far as the next season in baseball? When does that actually start, do you know?
I think spring training is already, pitchers are arriving next week or something.
And these guys do like road tours. This is much more clearly like rock and roll because they play 160 games or something like that. That's a rock and roll road tour. How many shows do we actually do when we get on the road? If we do
40 or 50?
Exactly. Well, that's the standard Rolling Stones tour. If you circle out, you start in the middle and then you spin out and out and out and out. Then you'll actually hit up about 50 cities there. Go ahead and play a little of what's his face in the background, Hutch? Who is this? $10 too can name this. What is this? You can even tell just from one syllable. Come on, man.
I'm exempt. I already know.
Barry White.
You are from Boston. No, that's Tom Jones. Anyway, you're too white. You're too black. Animal, how are you this morning?
Hey, how you doing this morning, D-Ro? I'm all right.
You got his mic working there, Sick?
Yeah.
Just turn your microphone up. Aim it right at you there. We'll put the spotlight on him there. It sounds a little bit different. Is that a different kind of microphone?
Flicky's roll-off switch there. See if that helps.
Go ahead and hit that. Anyway, Johnny Damon coming up at 7:20 this morning. News that's fit to print. Vince Neil. Did you ever work with my Motley Crue Animal?
The only time I ever worked with Motley Crue is when I was doing security for Ricky Ratman back in the Cat House and Bordello days. They came through as his guest, and I was kind of looking out for him in the club. That was about it.
Okay, because Vince Neil is back in the news here. Vince Neil, Motley Crue at a benefit show for a school that rehabilitates juvenile offenders in Miami. Vince Neil, who was scheduled to perform, walked through the crowd shouting profanities at other performers, including a drag queen. Now, wait a minute. Was the drag queen a juvenile offender, or was it a guard?
A performer.
You think it was a performer?
Performing something.
Somebody on the stage? I wonder. It's because it says he was in it for a benefit for a school that rehabilitates juvenile offenders. What is Vince Neil doing at a school that rehabilitates juvenile offenders? He can't even spell offender.
He has to rehabilitate.
He can't.
First.
He can't even spell rehabilitate at this point. I think I'm wondering who did the choosing on this. Because didn't Vince crash a car and lose a buddy and lose a finger and lose a reputation and a few million bucks
Razzle
or what?
From Hanoi Rocks.
Oh right,
killed.
The singer who was
the guitar player. Or something.
Guitar player. Yeah. No, I think it was the singer of Hanoi Rocks.
And Michael Monroe is the singer.
Okay, do we actually care? He was ejected from the car, actually, on the Pacific Coast Highway or something. Ah, Quaaludes, great drug then, huh? Right on, Neil. But he got on stage, tried to get the audience to join him in chanting F-U. You know, as in Y-O-U. F-U, F-U. I'm wondering what the precursed that. How do you get in front of a bunch of probation officers? How do you get in front of a bunch of parents and police or whatever? But anyway, somebody at the event says, I was disgusted. Neil and Motley Crue recently got a star on the Hollywood... How do you get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame with this kind of a reputation? Seriously. I think if you purchase this, if you actually... you have to get like a... what do you call it? A ballot. You've got to get a... What do you call that when you collect a bunch of names or whatever?
You have to petition for it.
There you go. You get a petition. And there's a certain amount of money. I think it's about $7,000 or something. How much?
$15,000.
$15,000. And what's the waiting period? Because we researched this once for Van Halen. You know, you have to actually go out and get it. It's not an honorary thing that just happens to you. This is something that your promotion people and that, you know, Lizzie Grubman and these folks have to go out and you got to, you know, make your bid. And then you have to wait in line. And I'm very curious as to how Motley Crue gets a star before anybody else. Is it just because they were successfully reunited?
Maybe they paid more.
No, they didn't pay more. And I wonder how long you actually have to wait. Can you jump in front of the line if you're dying? Can you jump? Can you jump in the line if you just got out of rehab and you don't look like you'll make it through again? Can you jump ahead in line if you're just about to have a baby? Is that because it seems very coordinated, right? It sounds like this was timed for the second reunion of Motley Crue. Is there actually a reunion coming up? Is that what's happening?
Well, they already did that one.
Yeah, but they did. Is that part one? Are they now going to, like the Eagles, it's going to be parts 1 through 12? Or like Kiss, parts 1 through 14? Like Cher, parts 1 through 23? Yeah. She said it was a goodbye tour, and it lasted for almost 3 years. And I bet you she's going to come back again. Frank Sinatra had a very famous saying that said, nobody retires unless there's no audience. I think as long as there's an audience, absolutely, they're going to do part two. How could they not? I mean, look at Vince. Now he's doing his civic duty. He's doing rehabilitating juvenile offenders. This is genius. I'm wondering if a promotion director actually thought of this as some kind of a contrary thing, like this is weird, like the surreal life or something like this. Give us a call in 866-313-3733. And don't forget, Johnny Damon is coming up at 7:20. You think he's actually going to land at 7:20? Who actually shows up at 7:20?
Oh, I think Johnny will be on time. He's neither kind of.
Does he have a does he have a press agent now? Does he have a publicist? Is that what's going on, or did he actually call this in on himself? Interesting questions. 866-313-3733. Henry, talk to me. Go ahead and punch him in there, Hutch. What's your take on Vince Neil this morning, Henry?
How dare he pick on anybody for the way they dress, especially a drag queen? Did you see how he dressed in the 80s?
Oh, of course I did. He dressed like a drag queen. He looked a lot like Dave Navarro on the Rockstar Show.
Did you see him doing the chicken dance in Minnesota?
Oh, wait a minute. I think I did see something like this. What? Go ahead and reiterate what that was, and let me see if I actually remember.
He went to some festival. He's out there doing some kind of chicken dance, looking like a retard.
Oh, yeah. I know it. Go ahead. Continue.
I mean, like, who is he to pick on anybody?
He's
granted, I love the 80s. Dave, I love you. You're the man.
Okay.
Okay, but who is Vince Neil to pick on anybody and be a role model?
I don't know that he's actually a role model. What I'm saying, again, is this one of those genius press ideas where he so belongs not in that context that, in fact, that's genius, right? Because here we are reflecting on it going, what's he doing there? What's next? Vince Neil shows up on the Miss America beauty pageant or something even more retarded like Miss Teen America. Or even better, if I was his promotion guy, I'd say the Miss Black Teen America, right? Or if you were really retarded, you'd send him to the Black Teenage Special Olympics of America, right? Well, this is now you're starting to think like a promotion director in Beverly Hills, because I'm wondering if somebody from this school said, well, he's rehabilitated and this is a great example, or if in fact somebody is just playing promotion games. What do you think, Henry? What do you think's going on?
Absolutely, because they're doing a whole reunion tour, like you said, with him, Nick, Nikki, Tommy. They've got nothing else to do. They don't really shock anybody anymore because they don't do anything shocking like they used to.
Well, wait a minute. I'm going to argue with you on that. I'm a Tommy Lee fan more than I am a Vince Neil fan, okay?
Everybody loves Tommy. Look at what he's gotten to. He's gotten to Heather Locklear. He's gotten to Pamela Anderson.
Oh, yeah, he's living large. He's a very large guy, and now he just did a remake of Love Train. In fact, we may even have a copy of that. See if Timmy can scare that up, and we'll butcher that song for a karaoke style in a little bit here. Maybe we get Matt Damon to sing along on the Love Train. But also, he's got another what do you call it, a reality series coming up. Okay. He just did a reality series. He's a moving and grooving guy. I wonder how much actual coin Tommy has in his pocket. I wonder if he's actually even got a bank account at this point, because he has all the appearances of being like one of the Rolling Stones, and yet you're never quite sure what he does for a living. I find that admirable.
I don't think he saved that much money from when he was actually making it.
Well, how much money did they actually make? Okay, when you say they made a lot,
producers and everybody else taking any money from what you're doing.
Oh, exactly.
Then,
yeah, and I'm kind of trying to share that with the public as we discuss here, because it sounds like you know a little bit about music, is that when you say they made a lot of money, well, it costs a lot of money to actually just float. You got to inhale money. Anything that moves, you got to throw money at it. And, you know, to make records that take 6 months to a year to make, et cetera, then I don't imagine that Motley Crue made a tremendous amount. They had some popular records, okay, and they had some popular road tours. But compared to, say, Frank Sinatra, who made 99 records on the Reprise label alone, or Tito Puente, who made 112 records. How many records did Motley Crue make? Five? Maybe six? Something like that? And go ahead. Do you know, Henry? Do you know?
Probably about nine, if you count in that freaking...
No. I think they made four records, but it feels like nine.
They had, let's see... Theater Pain.
Okay, well, whatever it was, whichever it is, that's okay. But my point is, even if they make 10 records, it's still one-tenth of what a full career is really about. And this is my curiosity about Tom, because his last real musical contribution was Dr. Feelgood. Bob Rock produced that. I worked with Bob. Bob produced an album for me in the early 90s. And of course, Bob Rock is associated with all the best Bon Jovi stuff, or the most familiar Bon Jovi stuff. And I'm very curious as to... how our culture supports it. It's like Paris Hilton.
And also, Dave, Nikki Sixx wrote almost every single Motley Crue song, lyrics and music.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Nikki Sixx wrote everything on all the records.
Okay, so you would expect that the singer would write the lyrics until you actually hear Vince Neil speak. Then I see the symmetry. Okay, we're off to what my parole officer used to call a flying start here. Thanks for calling, Henry. Number eight, Brian, calling in from Massachusetts? Or does he equate Mass with Motley? I'm wondering, is there a religious issue? Brian, you're on Roth Radio. You're good to go.
Hey, Dave, second time caller.
Okay.
Let me just explain something to you. 1985, when Van Halen broke up, the only thing we had to look forward to out of California was Motley Crue. You know, that was a saving grace for me.
Okay, well, for me...
Another thing is, last year, I went to see Aerosmith, I went to see the Rolling Stones, and I went to see Motley Crue.
Which one was the best?
Motley Crue.
What made them the best? This is interesting.
Because it's raw. It's musically talented? No, they don't have it. Lyrically, yeah, Nikki Sixx has got some good lyrics. But the energy of the show, you know, I went to see the Rolling Stones at Fenway Park, and Mick Jagger cut off the lyrics, "Who Killed the Kennedys," because he didn't want to offend Rita Shriver, who was in the audience.
Okay.
To me, that's not rock and roll.
Okay.
Motley Crue doesn't give a crap. They just go out and do what they do.
Hold on. I like the way you're talking here, and I agree with the way you think. I think that probably rock and roll, more than anything, is performance theater. And let's describe what that is. It's based on music. It's based on melody. It's based on the guitar solo or what have you. But it's theater. It's being. Okay, and when you see somebody, one of these characters like a Tommy Lee or whatever, he doesn't even have to really move around. You just look at him and imagine all the rumors, all the allegations, all the gossip, the most recent arraignment, and all the activity is taking place inside of your skull. Also, I think what you're reflecting on is that bands like perhaps Aerosmith, I haven't seen them recently, but certainly the Stones and a number of other folks, that's a very considered performance. I think it's the difference between watching Madonna, which is a very considered performance. She's very conscious of the results she's getting.
Just good times. Take me away to a place where I got time.
Tommy Lee singing another good theme song for Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth. Animal, how are you this morning,
Mike? Oh, man, I'm great this morning. How you doing?
Oh, you got the bottom end back
there. Yeah, I got the right mic now.
Yeah, you got the sound.
Give me a hype there. Give me a little hype there.
There you go.
Mark that right there, Hutch. Put that on the mark right there. Brian Young being bad in the background. You got a little guitar for us, that bad boy? Yo, swing it. We got off on the music tip here. It's Tuesday. It's the beginning of the weekend. 866-313-3733. Somebody just called in from Massachusetts. Actually, let me just digress here because that's what we're all about. We have somebody very special. He came from Massachusetts and he's part of New York now. Johnny Damon, the former Boston Red Sox guy, has just signed a 4-year, $52 million deal with the New York Yankees, and he's the center fielder. He's going to be coming up at 7:20 this morning. Baseball, that's probably the closest sport to rock and roll in terms of the number of tours, you know, number of cities that you have to go to, the number of games that you ever have to play. It's something like 160 plus, you know, spring training, etc. Animal, did you ever play baseball? Did you ever do that?
Just only in high school. Then my knees kind of got weak, and I became keeper of the stats and everything, talking smack to the other team, you know, like that.
Your job was talking smack to the other team?
Yeah, that was my job.
You must have been terrified.
Oh, I was, man.
162 yeah. games worth, plus the playoffs. How many games in the playoffs go for something like this? This is a long haul compared to, like, football or even boxing. How much does somebody fight in one given year? Maybe once, possibly twice for a prize fight?
Well, back in the old days, they used to fight about 4 or 5 times a year. Now it's like maybe 2, maybe possibly 3.
Not even 3. If you're fighting, you know, big-time stuff, if you're, you know, the top drawer on the HBO or something like that, maybe 2 times a year. We talked to Randy Couture, you know, who fights UFC. Yeah. Maybe 2 times a year he's going to go. He was saying that he gets started something like 3.5 months in advance, so he's got his spring training, too. Anyways, Johnny Damon coming in at 7:20, and I understand he's not doing anybody else's publicity or whatever. He has to come on the show here. He's a fan. Ah, the spiritual kinship, controversy, scandal, Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. And we were just talking about Vince Neil from Motley Crue. Well, there's a Freudian slip. Motley Crue at the benefit. At a benefit show for the school that rehabilitates juvenile offenders in Miami, Vince Neil, he showed up to perform, and he was walking through the crowd shouting profanities at other performers. I'm curious as to what other performers they had at something like this, because 9 times out of 10, you know, if it says it's a school that rehabilitates juvenile offenders, I'm going to expect Karen Carpenter doing "We've Only Just Begun." That's right, kids, we have to learn. And that's what it's all about, is learning to share. Sharing, that's really what it's all about, right? You would expect that kind of a routine. I don't think Vince Neil was delivering that. In fact, he got on stage, it says here, and he tried to get the crowd to join in chanting, F-U, F-U. I'm sure he finished the word. We can count on Vince for that. I was disgusted, said a person at the event. And just to show him, Motley Crue got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, so take that. Yeah. I maintain that this may well have been a promotional stunt, because if, you know, you're going to put a fish out of water, you know what I'm talking about. Vince Neil has no business at a rehabilitative thing for juvenile offenders. But maybe this is just a brilliant promotion thing. Give us Bruce here from New York. Bruce, 866-313-3733, DavidLeeRoth.com. You're in the spotlight, Bruce.
Hey,
go ahead.
Dave, I am so geeked right now. I am a huge fan from the 70s.
Oh, this is my pleasure, man. Go ahead.
Huge fan. Aren't all rock stars, I don't mean any insult, aren't they all kings of self-promotion and egomaniacs? And I mean,
let me summarize it.
Gene Simmons, the man has, you know, he's got Kiss condoms, Kiss caskets. I mean, come on, isn't that what it's all about? Just getting your name in the papers and like in the headlines and having your name constantly out there.
Okay, I think you have a very strong point there, and I liken it to this: when you're in the basement and you're creating whatever it is you're making, whether it's you're painting a picture, developing a photograph, or writing a song, you have to write according to what really moves you, what drives your wheel. You can't make it a result-oriented thing, or that's clearly evident when you bring it up out of the basement. If you're trying to make people feel a certain way, as opposed to just speaking to them through your music, that's very evident. However, in the colored light of day, then tireless self-promotion is the American way, my friend. And if you can't show the horse where the water is, he's never going to even know to take a drink. And there are so many, many people, you know, vying for, okay, think of it as a campaign. It's like running for office for governor or something. Vote for me. Hey, give me your $20. You walk through the record store and every little record of the Gwen Stefani going, vote for me. Pink, vote for me. Here comes the Motley Crue reunion. Vote for us. And it's the same for tickets, etc. So, yeah, also there's the old joke of how many rock stars does it take to put in a light bulb? The answer is one. We hold the bulb. And then we wait for the world to revolve around us. Put him back on. Put him back on there.
That was actually very funny. I like that.
Well, it's a realistic view.
I guess it all comes down to the mighty dollar, you know?
Well, if you don't make the dollar, if you can't make the dollar, then you can't make another record. If you can't make the dollar, then you can't afford to go back out on tour then. I think there's a break point, though. Perhaps Bruce Springsteen does a real good job of self-promotion without making us feel like we're being pandered to. Is that a realistic view? Perhaps the band U2 does that really well. Queen does it really well. I don't. Motley Crue is a little more confrontational, okay? Because they come from a generation that's post 60s, post early 70s.
And maybe he had to do that as a condition of his probation.
Oh, right.
You know, sometimes they have to do community service.
Oh, that's right. There, you're thinking now. What do you think, man? Was that a condition of his probation, Bruce? What do you think?
I think it was. I think he had to do a certain amount of community service back then when he had that car accident.
That's old stuff.
And I think it was a guy named Dell Stringley or Dizzy or something like that, or Dad
Razzle.
Razzle Dizzle or something like this.
Razzle. That's what it was, Razzle.
Okay, I'm going to guess that he's probably serviced that already. He's done his, he's paid back his debt to society. But there may be things behind the scenes. You know, also, they may have also thought, somebody may have legitimately thought, okay, let's temper this. You know, I was just reading in page 6 that somebody had hired, Katie Couric was getting a lot of bad press because she's talking about switching television stations or whatever, and she had hired a publicity or a promotions director to help her choose the correct charity interests. I believe that was the exact expression on the page, the correct charity interests. And again, I think if you have a specific charity in mind, you got something that, you know, that affects you. If you have a family member who suffers from something and that, okay, you pick that, right? I was just reading a book on Alzheimer's. I can't remember where I put it. But I would support that if I could remember the address. No, my favorite is kids. When I first made my Van Halen money, I would spend a large percentage of my cash for charity for the pediatrics ward down in San Gabriel where I worked when I was a surgical orderly, okay? But if you're getting somebody to help you figure out what the best charity is to get you the best promotional value, I don't know. I don't know if I have a problem with that or not. What do you think, Animal? You're shaking your head.
What? Yeah, I think, you know, that's what you were saying, you know, like, when you're going to come out with it, you should, like, have everything the way you want it, but...
You're talking about, you know, the way you really feel as opposed to doing something that you think people will enjoy.
Yeah, that's it, what I'm trying to say. Yeah, how the people would want you to have it, because if you come with something that you want, you know, it's like it might not work, so you have to do what the people want. Then when that go on, then when you get
like
your money,
how can I
then
tug
maybe
at their heartstrings?
Exactly.
Yeah.
How do you
make me look good?
Well, also,
yeah.
All charity has a political content to it. Okay, all charity has a political connection. You say, well, how does AIDS have a political connection in terms of a charity? We all wear the red ribbon.
Red ribbon.
Okay,
yeah.
But more than that, there's probably 3 to 7 times as many little infants who die from infant diarrhea around the world, right? You know, from dysentery, drinking bad water, all in the third world countries. So how come we don't wear little brown ribbons? Good times, baby. Rob Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth. The whole gang is in attendance. Roth Family Breakfast, 866-313-3733. We were just talking about the Motley Crue being on the road here. They got a star on Hollywood Boulevard, and Vince Neil did his usual stellar performance at a rehabilitation home for juvenile offenders or whatever. What, you would almost encourage him to go on and offend, huh? Go from the top. Oh, and you know what? Give me Suzanne, and let's see what she's got to say about this. Suzanne, you're in the spotlight. Roth Radio, go ahead.
Your show.
Go ahead, my dear.
I have a question and a comment.
Yep.
If Vince Neil wasn't drunk at the school, that is so scary.
Oh, you're saying if he wasn't drunk, then that's frightening?
To me.
I don't think he was drunk. I think that he was creating his performance the way he always has. He just didn't realize that he had to tailor it perhaps to a different crowd. Or was that genius? You tell me.
I think he falls short of genius.
He falls short of genius? Conveniently short or really short?
Way short.
Are you a Motley Crue fan in the beginning anyways?
Not in the least.
Okay. Well, who do you think would have been more appropriate to play at a home for rehabilitating juvenile offenders? Who do you think would have been appropriate? Who would be inspirational? Is that a Celine Dion kind of a move? Is that a J-Lo kind of move?
I got to cop out and say it's too early for me to ponder that.
It's not too early for big words like ponder. Thanks for calling, Suzanne. Don't try and lie to a liar. That's right. Roth, 866-313-3733. Playing with Motley Crue was, they were contemporaries of ours, right? And I always make the story that I would go to many Motley Crue shows. In fact, I've probably been, well, I'm not going to say it right away. Motley Crue, once Van Halen actually started hitting the road, okay, they were our, we were the predecessors. We went first. They were about 2 years behind us. And whenever I would go home to Los Angeles, there would be the Motley Crue show either at the Whiskey A Go-Go or the Starwood or up at Gazzari's, whatever. These were the local clubs. They're still there. The Rainbow Bar and Grill is neatly in there. The Roxy Bar and Grill, you know, all these places. And they had all the best girls. If you weren't on the road and you were looking for rock and roll, you know, stories to tell and drinking stories to pretend that you don't remember or whatever, you would go to the Motley Crue gig and hang out backstage. I've made the not funny. It's actually not a joke. I say it funny, but I mean it true. I've probably been to close to 132 Motley Crue shows, and I've actually only seen four songs. You got that. The thing with how we were competing with each other, though, there's history for all the wrong reasons here. And when we were writing songs, there's two ways that we would go. Either you would imitate somebody, okay, and you can tell when somebody was like, if we were imitating ZZ Top or if you were imitating the Stones or whatever, then you would kind of know that. You'd have that inkling at first. And then there was the way that we did it in the band. Alex Van Halen, the drummer, had taken a old record player that played vinyl record albums and reversed the polarities on the engine or the little motor that turns it, right, and made it play backwards. Not a big thing, especially in today's thing of turntablism, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm going to play you a song here. This is an old AC/DC song with Bon Scott singing it way, way before anybody really tied into this band with Black and Black or, you know, Highway to Hell or anything. This was a song that we used to hear on the road when we first toured in England. We listened to this song throughout England. We did 22 cities in a little under 38 days. Okay, I didn't even know there were that many cities in England at that time there. And what we would do is we would play records that were popular with us. We had the idea that if a song was good going one way, what if you reversed the chord progression? Wouldn't it still be good? Because the choice, I know, it doesn't make any sense now. But listen to this song and tell me if this isn't Panama backwards. Go ahead, hit up there.
Make a deal.
So what we did is we reversed this. You can hear it, can't you?
Dave, that wasn't even... You guys didn't even do that backwards. You did it the same...
Hold on. Turn off the track. Go ahead and play.
It's a flat-out riff.
Let's hear it.
We're in a different key, but...
Ah, history for all the wrong reasons, baby. See if the solo actually adds up the same, too. Let's listen. All right, put Tom Jones back on there.
Dave, about 2 years ago, you were in the dressing room when you go, Brian, $50 if you can tell me where I stole Dance Night Away from. And then I waited about 5 minutes, and I said, okay, where? And you go, I'm going to keep you hanging. And you've never told me yet.
Okay, you're putting me on the spot. Yeah, I'm going to have to figure that one out, because if you see it figures over any kind of a chord change there. Bring the track up here. Well, that's how hard it is to write pop songs here. Now, somebody asked me, I think it was actually Howard Stern on this time slot maybe a couple of years ago. He said, Dave, how long does it take you to write a song like Running with the Devil? And I said, well, if you listen to thousands of records, front to back, back to front, if you listen to thousands of hours of radio, television, you watch thousands of hours of movies, the silver screen, you read close to 1,000 books, about 40 minutes. But you got to do the homework. You got to do the spring training here. And I'm wondering if that might not have been what separated Van Halen from so many other bands, because I brought it up in these reality series that when you watch Paris Hilton, when you watch Ozzy Osbourne, when you watch Nick and Jessica, The Simpsons or whatever, there's no music playing in the background ever. There's no music playing in the car. There's no music in the living room. There's no music going on when they're in the shower. Come on.
That's why they hire guys to write their songs for them.
Okay. They're not really plugged into the music. They're using the music to get perhaps a result. But in fact, is that really a musician's musician? I don't think so. And in Van Halen, it was always a constant. You know, Brian, you know from traveling with me for a number of years here, we've worked together internationally everywhere from Ireland to Ohio, you know. And I've always got a stereo. I've got a little one for the car. I've got a big one for the backstage.
And a backup big one for the backstage.
You never want to go music free, and there's a constant input. You hear what's going on in the backgrounds here.
This sounds just like your dressing room.
It's totally dressing room groove. This is all the stuff that you use to fire up. You know, of course I love Hot for Teacher. Of course I love Panama, Running with the Devil. I play ball on the weekend, though. I don't want to play ball on Monday. You got a little salt in the rice to keep it, you know, a little mixed, a little different here. And perhaps that's what made Van Halen different, is that there was always that input from different kinds of music, much less spinning the record virtually backwards. But you're telling me we didn't spin the record backwards there. Play that for me one more time. Play the AC/DC cut one more time. It's number 2 there. Even the intro. Yeah, you're right. All right, Thomas, you're going to get me busted. All right, let's have Matthew call from Florida. Talk to me on Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Matthew, you're in the spotlight. Go ahead, babe.
Good morning, Mr. Diamond. How you doing
today? I'm swinging. How about yourself?
Pretty good. I am the last remaining living skyscraper fan. Sorry.
I don't think you are. We sold a couple of million of those, and it paid for the T-shirt I'm wearing today.
No kidding. That's good to hear. Actually, I like that. I like that. I really like the Paradise thing.
Okay.
Anyway, my point is, you're talking about self-promotion. Nobody should know more about self-promotion than yourself.
Okay.
My favorite all-time self-promotion rock gig, and this may sound like sucking up, but whatever, you guys can decide, is the all-Dave TV thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about. We laughed our asses off.
You're like, talking about on the television or something that I did on the internet?
Television, you know, that thing.
Of course.
We love that with the Michael Jackson hair burning through the thing. And That was the funniest video we've ever seen.
Well, I think what you saw there was vaudeville, actually, because that's a tradition, is you take whoever the famous faces are. I learned to do it from reading Mad Magazine. I think that Eminem kind of picked up the ball a little bit there and ran with it. And I know that Pink now, who's probably going to be calling us up tomorrow, Pink is going to be, I think she just finished a video like that where she's lampooning Paris Hilton and a variety of other people. But that's a classic old school tradition. That's something like from the Marx Brothers or whatever. But you're saying that that's something that stuck with you. To me, that's kind of the Wizard of Oz of pop video, you know, somewhere between California Girls and Just a Gigolo. Plus, it was exceedingly low tech. What kind of videos do you like today? Is there anything popular and modern that you're looking at today, man? Go ahead.
Not really. There's only a couple things. I see maybe one or two videos a year that I like today. You know, I'm 44 years old, so you know what kind of era I grew up in.
I know what era you grew up in, but our era was really diverse compared to what music is today. If you listen to a given station today, it's pretty specific. The music that you and I listened to as kids growing up, I'm 51, so I'm ahead of you by a couple of grades here, was way diverse. And I brought this up the other day, that the initial Woodstock, every act that was on there, whether it was Jimi Hendrix, Shanana, Santana, or whoever, they were all on the same radio station. So
right, I got one for you, Dave. White Stripes with Conan.
White Stripes.
White Stripes, they got Conan O'Brien in it. I love that video.
I haven't seen the video, but I love his voice. It's like when he got to be bar mitzvah age, his voice didn't go up, it went sideways.
Right. I like the White Stripes. They're the only creative guys out there in videos, I think.
Oh, I think that you're just having trouble thinking while you're on the spot. But in 10 more minutes, you're going to come up with 9 other names, man.
I know. I don't know about that.
There's always a song, though. There's always a tune. Instead of looking for an album's worth, instead of looking for a whole stage show now, I settle for one good song or two good songs. What's the latest cool song that you've heard? Did you like that Michelle Branch stuff that we were playing earlier? That's pretty pop stuff.
I listened to The Buzz down in West Palm, and thank God you're on because I didn't listen to him for, I don't know, a couple, 2.5 years in the morning. Anyway, I like his Modest Yahoo. It's kind of a calypso slash rock thing going on. I think it's kind of cool.
You like the tropical element? Does it make it feel like you got sand in your shoes?
Come on. Listen, I live in a house full of Jamaicans.
Okay, I detected the tropical vibe. I love that. Hopefully what we sell here is a fine, delicate house blend of what the Rolling Stones do for a living, what Jimmy Buffett's been doing for a living, and the way Playboy magazine looked in 1966. Is that kind of the music you're listening for these days?
Well, I don't know. I love the Police, and they've got that island rock to it, and this has got an island rock to it.
I like that. And I use music like a lot of people use wallpaper. I call it wallpaper music. Certain kinds of music makes the sun come up. Certain kind of music makes the lights go red. Certain kinds of music is dangerous. Certain kinds of music is let's get the freak on or whatever. I like the way you think, Mike. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Hey, it says here, Orthodox Jewish reggae. Usually don't see those in the same sentence here, huh? Is he gay?